That big eight wheeler rolling down the track, and your true loving daddy ain't coming back. He's a rolling on. You were flying too high for one of those guys on moving on. But someday, baby, when you had your play, you're gonna want your daddy, but your daddy will say, keep moving on. Keep rolling on. You were flying too high for one of those guys on. Listen to me, cause I got a pretty mama in Tennessee to keep rolling on, keep moving on. Please listen to me, let this rattle of freedom keep moving on. But you just wouldn't listen to pay me no mind. No, I'm moving on. I'm rolling on. I'm through with you. Too bad you're blue, but I'm moving on. Move on, baby, move on.
Guess who that was? Come on. Come on now. No, it wasn't Hank Snow. He made it big the first time round. The song Moving On, and that's Elvis Presley singing Moving On. How about that? And that's what we want all these wetbacks and stuff, just to keep moving on back there to Mexico. Well, this is War Radio. War Radio coming to you from our very well-fortified bunker and surrounded by weapons of mass destruction. We even got Igor here in the old bunker to protect things. Yes, sirree. You want to mail us, though, you're going to have to mail us down in the village, and that's P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. And our big website where you can download all these radio shows is resist.com. And our email address is now warmetzger@aol.com. And our PayPal address is warresist.com. WARRESIST. Warresist.com. @AOL.com, and that's for PayPal, but we don't do our regular email on that one. Now we're getting ready to publish our next newspaper for the next month, so get your subscriptions in. It's $30 per year for 12 issues, or in Canada, it's $40 for 1 year, and all other countries, it's $50, and of course you get that first class, not the slow boat. War newspaper has been published for a long, long time now, and we've got the hottest, racist, most irreverent, seditious information that you can get about any place in that newspaper. Plus, the the great traditional A. Wyatt Man cartoons. This has been a big week, man. Big week. They got big committees up there in Washington trying to figure some excuses out for 9/11. Well, they don't really have any excuses because it was all incompetence. And the effective ability of unconventional warfare, where 19 guys could really raise hell in about any country they want to try it in. And those boys certainly did with 9/11. The Matt Hale trial started in Chicago last week, and we'll be talking about that during the show. Dr. Kaldenberg will be here pretty soon. We got the Jason Williams murder trial going on, where he shot down his white driver with a shotgun and then claimed it went off accidentally. Yeah, that's still going on. The Kobe Bryant deal, I'll tell you, the Kobe Bryant deal, that's still going on, but I haven't heard much lately. That got real quiet. And now that it's getting to be springtime up in South Dakota, I believe it is, they're going to go out and start looking for the body of that beautiful white girl that was murdered by that piece of crap alien Mexican of some type who's been arrested, been charged with it, but they haven't found the body yet. And don't forget Terrible Tommy's Country Western show that we produced our first show a few weeks ago, and now we're working on our second show, and that'll be up there on the website pretty soon, resist.com. 1 hour of old-time country Western music and comments by yours truly. Well, I think I see old Dr. Kaldenberg coming up here. I think he traded that Jeep in and on a 56 Chevy. Here he come, man. Woo! Wow! Wow! Wow, man, there he is. The old dog's howling, too. I don't think my old dog, Bandit, knows the difference between a 56 Chevy and a coyote. You see, my dog's half coyote. He likes to, boy, something like that gets on there, he likes to howl. He likes to hang around the studio here, too. Well, here's Dr. Kaldenberg. What the hell? You like that new Chevy?
Oh, yeah, hot rod, baby.
Yay, man. Say hello to the audience.
Hello there, audience.
Yeah, they like that stuff. Come on. Woo, woo, wow. Well, it's been a hot week there, Dr. Kaldenberg. I see I've been watching this Jason Williams trial on Court TV
mm-hmm.
a little bit. You can't stand much.
Yeah, they're so biased. They're supposed to be unbiased. I mean,
well, he's a wonderful basketball player and a big nigger boy.
Oh.
Yeah, and he shot his driver. You know, white guy with a shotgun, and then he shot him point blank in his house,
mm-hmm.
and then he claimed that it went off accidentally. Now,
what, several times?
I've shot shotguns all my life,
yeah,
and never a shotgun goes off accidentally.
Especially when it's accidentally pointed at somebody.
Well, yeah, and he killed him dead, and so he's trying to get out of it. And then Kobe Bryant, you don't hear nothing about that case.
Well, he accidentally fucked her in the butt.
Wait a minute. This is a family show.
Well, the other nigger can accidentally kill a white guy. Why can't he accidentally rape a white girl?
You could at least use scientific words here.
Accidentally buggered her.
Oh, jeez. I didn't know you were English.
Yes.
Well, anyhow, I haven't heard much about it. You hear him talking about him on the sports channel, how he's playing such wonderful basketball.
Oh, it doesn't matter if he raped 100 white girls.
Hey, there was a Russian big fight the other night, I heard, and I missed it. It was supposed to be a world championship fight between mm-hmm. a Russian and a nigga.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it turned out. The white guy must have won because I didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
Well, what else we got here? We got all kinds of stuff going.
They found four dead Americans in Iraq. Found their bodies. They haven't identified them yet because I guess they're mutilated.
Well, this blew the shit out of a hotel over there this morning.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, well, not too much. They just knocked some of the cement off the front, but their heart was in the right
place.
They're
going to keep 20,000 American soldiers in there. They're going to prolong their stay there. I guess it was Time or Newsweek had the big front cover. Is this the next Vietnam? So now even the mainstream press is comparing this to Vietnam.
Well, yeah, because
I just hope it is.
I was listening to late night radio last night, and I was pulling in old Provo, Utah up mm-hmm. there, and they were all talking about this unit that was supposed to come back
yeah.
this week. They ain't coming back.
No. No.
You see? And
well, that's what today he told 20,000 of them. They just got to stay there for, I guess, the duration. They haven't given any dates that I heard of.
Well, wait till the draft comes on.
Yeah.
You know Bush will draft after if he gets reelected.
I never registered for the draft.
You're in big trouble, boy.
I was supposed to. I never did. You know, in high school,
I don't think I ever did either.
In high school, like, the draft, Vietnam was going pretty, it was just, well, it actually ended the year, my senior year in high school.
Yeah.
And this was even when I was a sophomore and junior, we used to grab, like, nerds that had, and take their draft cards away from them and burn them and stuff, and they'd be crying, like, oh, no, I want to go to jail and stuff. And none of them ever went to
jail. You're a mean man.
Well, we had to resist the war, so you burn a nerd's draft card. Well, actually, we were saving the fucking nerd's life. You can't get drafted, they haven't got a card.
Hey, you know, I think I'm gonna go up there, around your old stomping ground this next weekend.
Cool. Cool.
Lancaster.
Oh,
that's not too far, is it?
Yeah.
They got the Poppy Festival.
That's where Frank Zappa was from.
Frank Zappa?
Yeah, he was a rock star that died from prostate cancer.
Well, I know about Frank Zappa. Yeah, he was a New York Jew.
No, he was from Lancaster. Well, he was half Arab and half Italian.
That's a hell of a mixture.
Yeah, I know.
Anyhow, they're having the Poppy Festival up there.
What kind of poppies?
Poppies.
No, well, not like opium,
you know, flower poppies.
Oh, California poppies.
Yeah. Can they make cocaine out of that?
No, they make heroin and stuff out of opium. Well, actually, I think you can make a lesser form out of the regular poppy, but it's
Anyhow, my good old band's going to be up there, Confederate Railroad.
Whoa, they're in the poppy fields.
Yeah, they're playing in Vegas the day before, and they're coming on down to Lancaster, and that's about as close as they ever get. They're always playing down south. They don't get out here too much.
I think they feel there's probably more rednecks in the Central Valley than there is down here.
Of course they do.
Actually, there's more Mexicans now, you know?
Yeah, and of course, a lot of those Mexicans even like country music.
Oh,
that's the problem.
You know, I was talking to my parents the other day, and they said in Bakersfield, in Kern County, when I was a kid, used to be over 90% white. They said now that it's 80% Mexican.
Yeah.
That's amazing for just one generation to go from 90% white to 80% Spick. That's not even counting the niggers and the gooks or anything.
I'm getting big complaints out of Tulsa, you know, because they're building this 200-foot Indian back there.
Yeah.
And because they worship the Indians, and the Indians are,
they're
great people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, most of them, if they had a nosebleed, they get kicked out of the tribe because they're all mixed with white people. But they say, you know, I predicted that they'd take over the flea markets back there.
Yeah.
And one of the boys called me and said, you're right, they have. They've taken over the flea markets totally. Just like out here. You know, you go to a flea market on the weekend, it's nothing but Mexicans. So I pretty much quit going.
Mm-hmm.
But you go to garage sales, now that works out pretty good.
You know, it's funny, in Arizona, when I was living in Phoenix, there was a highway called Squaw Highway, and there was a big thing because the Apaches got a big reservation there, and they wanted to take, change it to something else because they said it was racist. They're always cracking you up to go there because, you know, Squaw is a Delaware Indian word that means a vagina, is a nice way to put it.
Oh, yeah?
So it's like Vagina Highway.
Cool. Why don't they just change it to Vagina Highway?
Yeah, change it to an English
then
word.
Then all the libs would really love it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It always cracked me at driving down Squaw Highway.
Squaw Highway. Well, you know, anyhow, they want to change all these, get rid of all these Indian names on this. Sports and everything.
I wish I'd get rid of all these goddamn Spanish names. You know, nothing pisses me off more when somebody tells you, you know, it's Gubla Gubla Street.
Yeah.
And you try to find it, and you have no idea how it's spelled.
Yeah.
Like, what's that one? There's a street in El Cajon that's some Spanish name. God, what is it? Is it Crimshaw or something like that?
No, I don't remember.
Shawhammer or something like that. But it's a Spanish name that's not spelled anything like you would think it would be spelled.
And then there's
Hammershaw.
And then there's Kiamucca and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know how many people die because of these
things? Oh, yeah, yeah.
They live out here in the country. And they
even the ambulance guys can't find
them. Yeah, they name all these little
either they can't pronounce them or they can't spell them.
So the they send out a couple of niggers in an ambulance to pick up somebody. Yeah.
Well, it's not really the niggers' fault.
Wait a minute, who's calling in
God
here?
God damn it.
That was a Republican National Committee calling me wanting to get some help.
Oh.
They think Bush is going to lose his ass.
You already lost his ass.
And they thought I could help him out.
I hope he's going to lose the election, because last night I guess he had a press conference, and even the Republicans were trying to get around the fact that he was really sucked. You know, he was just him and Han, and he's not very bright, and without a script, he doesn't know what to say. And
did you ever get the feeling he really don't like what he's doing?
Oh, yeah.
He really didn't even want to be president?
Well, I have a feeling, yeah, exactly. He did it to impress his daddy because he wanted his daddy's love, because he was kind of a, you know, that's the first thing of a lot of these rich kids. First, they will become like a rebel. You know, they'll do a lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol, coke. And they think, well, if you can't love me, at least you'll hate me on the nowhere there. And then eventually they say, well, this isn't working, so let me try to be his perfect little boy. And so that's what he's trying to be. He's trying to be daddy's perfect little boy and be the president of the United States. And I think that's exactly why he went into Iraq. He went to impress his daddy.
I think it's simpler than that. I think his daddy said, you'll run for president, I'll kick your ass.
Yeah. But I think psychologically, I think our president is all fucked up in the head.
Wait a minute.
All messed up.
What kind of a patriotic guy are you? Well, Sharon's in Washington. You know what he wants?
Bush to kiss his butt. Big
after,
time.
After Bush gives him some more money. We need more money.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's talking about he wants to get permission from Washington to give back part of the West Bank. That don't sound right at all.
We're talking about six blocks.
Well, that was so totally stupid. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're the ones who went in and kicked them all around and took it.
Yeah.
And now he's coming to see whether they can give it back.
Well, you know,
there must be a price tag on it.
Well, there is. If you realize, I read that today that they're talking about six blocks, and so he's going to ask for billions and billions of dollars to give six blocks. You know,
how big is a Palestinian block?
Probably, well, I think it's the same as ours.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, like from here to, you know, the other end of the, you know, town.
And they think that's going to bring a peace.
Well, it's going to get more money. Well, no, it's going to show Washington that they're making concessions, and then since they're making concessions, Washington's going to give them billions and billions of dollars for being good little boys.
You know, before World War II, it was always Churchill and the English
coming
over to get money.
Yeah.
Now it's Sharon.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Ashcroft, you know, he's more sleazy than Meese. Remember
Meese? I call him Ashcan.
All right, yeah. Ash Holcroft.
Meese.
Remember Meese?
Oh, he was
everybody thought Meese was a prick and a kook.
He was a prick and a kook.
He was a really a fanatic Christian kook, but this Ashcroft is a lot worse than Meese.
Oh, yeah.
Meese was never as violent. Like, he's pushing this whole Patriot Act 2 and stuff that will actually deport people. Anybody that the Attorney General says is a terrorist, it just has to be his word. No trial, no lawyer. They automatically get deported. They're American citizens or not. And then no country will accept us. There'll be a man without a country, you know, just floating around in the ocean somewhere.
We're already people without a country.
But even worse, you know, we won't even be allowed to live here. You know, that's what he wants to do with his patriot.
Well, that's
too.
What they're saying, but we might have something to say about that.
Yeah, you never know.
Come on out here. I got a good old weapon of mass destruction buried out here.
I don't know about that.
Huh?
I don't know about that.
Pull a pin, man. Let's go. Tick, tick, tick. Okay.
I think we've got to work hard to get this fucking Republicans out of the White House. Even the Democrats, as much as they are, they're a hell of a lot better than these fucking Republicans. They're just a bunch
of jerks. Man, I got a guy pushing the Democrats now here.
Yes, I think the Democrats are evil, but they're less evil than the last old Republicans.
Democrats waste money, but it's on social programs.
Yeah.
Republicans waste money.
Spying.
Bombing on
well, if you listen to all those people, you know, you got the head of the CIA and the FBI, you got Janet Reno, you got the that nigger lady, Condoleezza Rice, or Condoleezza Reese, or...
Yeah, she wants to be head of the football league now.
Well, all of them are pushing for money. Their big thing is, well, 9/11 happened because we didn't have any money. If we got more money, then 9/11 wouldn't happen.
I heard that, too.
I mean, all of them said that. It sounded like
if we had the money.
They said that we needed more money. If we had more money, if we don't get more money, it'll happen again, so give us more money.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Gore Vidal said, that this is just a big scam to increase the police powers
and to get
more money. And that's exactly what they're doing, because it was just listen to those hearings, it was just like a broken record, all in all, just give me more money. We need more power. We need more money.
They already have billions.
Well, they got too much power right now, and they got too much money right now.
But they want more billions to do nothing.
Well, that's why even like Times Newsweek said that the FBI knew that about this attack was going to happen beforehand, and they didn't do anything. The reason they didn't do anything is now that they got 3,000 dead people, now they can whine and rub their hands and say, see, we told you so. We needed more money, and we need more police power, so give it to us.
They just indicted a guy for stealing five Secret Service cars at the site of 9/11 and selling them.
Well, you know what the scary thing is? Is that, you know, the Muslims are thinking about, you know, they want to have one of these suitcase nuclear bombs they get from the Russians.
Yeah.
They
want to
bring it in the United States and set it off. And the FBI and the CIA are going to allow them, because if they blow up Los Angeles, look at all, then they can go to the Congress and say, see, we told you, give us more money, give us more police power, turn America into a police state, and we could have stopped this. Because, like I say, if they ever got wind of it, they would be the first ones to let it go.
You're such a cynical man.
Well, it's the truth. They're
You're
just rotten
such
bastards.
A cynical
they're worthless, lying, rotten bastards.
Jeez.
And they do not need more power. What are you breaking over there? They don't need more power, they need less money, they need to be put on trial and be thrown in prison because they're a bunch of scumbags.
I think we need Pee Wee Herman for president.
That's true, at least all he does is pound his pud and he doesn't bother anybody.
Hangs out in the back of the theater there.
Well, I wonder if Pee Wee ever saw The Passion of Christ.
No, but it'd be interesting to see him model for it on the cross.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you've seen any movies?
Movies, yeah, I saw a couple of
You haven't
movies.
Seen The Passion of the Crap, have you?
No, I haven't seen that yet. I don't know, there's something about it that I just don't
Well, I guess, you know, like, you saw that one, didn't you see that a zombie movie? Night of the Living Dead, or whatever it was called?
Yeah, that was a good movie.
That was a lot like The Passion of the Christ, because, see, The Passion of the Christ was about a guy who died and rose from the dead,
right.
And then he ate the brains of the white Europeans and poisoned their minds, and this other movie is about a bunch of guys who rise from the dead and they eat people's brains.
Is that so?
Yeah, it's parallel. He's actually, I think.
Yeah, the whole bunch of Jesus is running through the
exactly.
States.
I think The Night of the Living Dead is a sequel to the New Testament.
Yeah, because
Jesus was the first the first zombie. He's the one that spread all this.
Cannibal. He's supposed to eat the.
Yeah, this is
the flesh.
Yeah, the blood. The wine you drink is my blood, and the flesh you eat, or the bread you eat, is my flesh.
I guess he was the prototype for this movie.
Yeah, you know when Saint Peter heard that, the first thing he did, he put two Swedish meatballs in his mouth.
Oh.
The Bible said Last Supper, and then St. Mark grabbed for the Polish sausages.
Oh, come on. I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
Did I tell last week what the Roman soldiers
said
to Jesus?
Yeah.
Huh? I don't think I said it on the show.
Yeah, you did.
I did. He said, will you cross your feet, please? I've only got three nails.
You said that.
Again?
I think so.
Well, they need to hear it again anyhow, because you know how you have to keep repeating things, you know.
Jesus' last stand, the Roman soldiers told him that they were going to nail his faggot ass, that he needed to show up, so he showed up the next day with a box of condoms and a bottle of Vaseline.
Oh, for Christ. This is a family show. What are you talking about?
So the Roman
like
army
that?
Could nail his faggot ass.
You're as bad as Howard Stern.
I don't like Jesus.
And I went to see the Alamo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who won?
I keep playing it over and over again, but they never win at the Alamo, but they win at San Jacinto.
Oh, that's okay. Love to win the end.
But I must say that I would love to have seen the cast of the original movie with John Wayne.
That's okay.
In this movie. Because now... Billy Bob Thornton, I got to say, even though he's a race-mixing bastard, he did a good job as
Crockett.
Mm-hmm. But the guy who played Travis was weak.
Yeah.
Lawrence Harvey was great in that role.
Yeah.
And Richard Widmark was much better at Jim Bowie than the guy they had playing. But other than that, it was a good movie. I recommend the movie.
I know, you know, Hollywood's such copycats. They laid on cable. They've been showing all the Alamo movies, the one with James Arnaz, you know, the guy who played Matt Dillon on Gunsmoke. And then there's, God, the one, I guess, one of the Baldwin brothers is a different one. But I guess, there's even a silent movie
for
the Alamo.
Another one coming out now. Is there, what's his name, the guy that was on Happy Days?
Oh, no, he was going to make this one.
Oh.
Except he got into it. He was going to make it with Russell Crowe as Davy Crockett.
Oh.
And then he got in a big fight with Disney over it because I guess they wanted too much control over his script because I guess the Jews wanted to make it more PC or something like that.
More pro-Mexican.
Yeah. So he got pissed and he and Russell Crowe just told him to take a hike.
Actually, they didn't really insult the Mexicans because they showed the Mexicans as a powerful, well-trained army.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
And but they did show Santa Anna was bloodthirsty and even a lot of his close-ranking officers didn't want him to kill those people.
Oh, you know, on cable I watched the Alamo 13 Days of Glory with James Arnaz. And it was funny because, you know, Travis is slave Negro,
uh-huh.
that they had him coming in there like an equal partner, and he was just chit-chatting with the boys and telling them, talking about the nigger, talking about strategy, and they go, "Yes, sir, Bill," or whatever his name was, Nigger Bob or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were treating him like an equal, and I was saying, "Boy, I'd like to go back in time to see exactly how they really treated
him." Well, did you see this movie yet?
No, I haven't seen
well,
it.
Well, I'll tell you what it does. Travis is, not Travis, but Boy is really sick, and he ends up dying, really, of consumption and all kinds of crap. But anyhow,
TTB did
something like that. Yeah, they weren't quite.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's what they called consumption.
He was spitting up blood and everything. Well, anyhow, the Mexican sister of his wife that died was tending to him, and when things looked hairy and boy, it was going to get bad, he called her in. He called his slave in.
Yeah.
He said, "Now I want you guys to get out of here and go away from here until it's over." Mm-hmm. And the black guy says, he said, "Did the boss, did this mean I was be free?" He says, "No, you ain't free. I've owned you from the beginning, and I'll always own you.
Yeah.
I'm just getting you out of here for now."
Colonel Travis, he had a slave there, too, and he escaped, but then the Mexican army caught him and sent him back to his family, Travis's family.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, that they shouldn't have done that, because, you know, Mexico, they had outlawed slavery.
Yeah.
And, because the blacks in this movie were talking about it. Now, when they come over the wall, you run out there and say, "Slave, slave, slave," and they won't kill you.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be their way. Actually, it showed that.
Yeah, they may not kill you, but like they say, well, in real life, they returned Travis as slave.
Yeah, well, it's a movie,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, but in real life, they returned as slave.
Well, I don't know. That's history gets so screwed up. How do we know for sure?
Because he
lived
with the family and died with the Travis family.
How do you know for sure?
Yeah.
The Travis, where did he go? No, he didn't go anywhere. He was dead.
Yeah, he died.
The family was up in Goliad, wasn't they? I think they were in Goliad.
I think eventually they moved back.
But anyhow, and Quaid, Randy Quaid, he played a good part as Houston.
Oh, really?
And, of course, this movie takes the story on out till they beat the Mexicans at San Jacinto.
Yeah.
And they followed history pretty well there because the guys were almost ready to revolt and leave him because they thought that Houston was a chicken. He kept retreating.
The Arnaz movie, sir.
Well, he said he studied Wellington and how he finally got Bonaparte, Napoleon.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just kept retreating, and then Santana split his forces in three groups.
Mm-hmm.
And the group that Santana was in was only 800 men. Well, Santana's thinking, you know, I'm going to march right over them, and his aide-de-camp says, "Well, they're coming here."
Mm-hmm.
And they, all of a sudden, bam, they just wiped them out. It only took them a little bit.
You know how Wellington beat Napoleon at Waterloo? Because he studied the hell out of Napoleon, and he beat Napoleon with his own genius.
Well, that was more or less what this guy did. In fact,
then
once all the Mexican, that 800 men got in a certain area, they come across a bridge behind them, and they went and blew up the bridge so they couldn't retreat.
Yeah.
And when the Mexicans were so mad about all of them killing everybody at the Alamo, well, they just butchered every Mexican they find. And the Mexicans who were fighting on the side of the Texans, they said, "You wear a playing card in your hat so they won't, our guys won't kill you," because they wanted to kill every Mexican.
What would they call those pro-white Mexican Tejanos or something like that?
I don't know, but Seguin was the big leader of that group, and it's interesting. Seguin is the guy that played Seguin is the guy that played the sheriff in Manitowoc.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Manitowoc?
Yeah, that's a damn good movie.
Yeah, he's sort of a little bit swarthy, but he had blue eyes. Everybody in this movie at the Alamo had blue eyes except the niggers.
Yeah.
It was really something.
But wasn't there a story that like one Jew was the only one?
They talk about a guy by the name of Moses Rose
who
went over the wall.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether that's true or not.
Yeah, I've heard that story. Even when I was a little kid, I heard that story that there was one Jew that, when Travis put the line in the sand, that he was the only one that crossed it or something like that.
Well, I don't know. I remember Gail used to going on about how Moses Rose went over the back wall.
Mm-hmm.
But now the thing that's beautiful about the Alamo, it was a Pan-Aryan struggle. It's the greatest symbol for Pan-Aryanism I've ever seen, because almost all of the people fought the Alamo weren't even Americans.
Yeah.
I would say only 25% of them were American citizens.
Well, very few of them were regular Army.
They came from Sweden, they came from Germany, they came from France, they came from all over.
Or the only really American ones were the guys from the frontier, too.
Yeah.
Now, none of the city guys, they're guys from Tennessee in the backwoods, and I think there was a guy from Russia there, too.
Yeah.
Like a guy from Italy.
So it was a real pan-Aryan thing, and our people should always remember that mm-hmm. the Alamo represented a pan-Aryan mm-hmm. struggle. Of course, we know a lot of guys going on, they're adventurers, mm-hmm. and they're wanting to get land, all that kind of stuff. But that's a natural thing for mm-hmm. people to do.
Yeah.
But the fact that they could have escaped from the Alamo and didn't is the main thing, you see. So they weren't just staying for the land and the money.
You know, the Alamo legend is how they make Fannin look like a coward, you know. Because Fannin only had 300 guys, and from what I understood, he was ordered to stay there to hold his position. And since he didn't abandon his position and disobey an order and fight a lost cause, that everybody considers him as, you know, a coward and stuff. And eventually, him and all his men got rounded up by the Mexican army. All of them were executed. But to me, those guys were just as brave as the guys of the Alamo, because, you know, the stand your grounds and to get captured and get executed, you know, it takes just as much courage as it would.
Yeah, but I don't know about that. I mean, Fannin knew that they were getting their ass kicked at the Alamo, and where he was at, he wasn't fighting Mexicans. And sometimes an officer's got to make a command decision.
Well, the thing is, he was the last outpost in that area of Texas, and he got up and moved. The Mexican army just had that whole area they could just sweep in and just take over. So he was the only...
Santana had 7,000 troops.
Oh, yeah,
now they said 3,000 in this movie.
Yeah, I think I had always heard it was 7,000.
7,000, and he forced marched them up
there.
They'd have had more men at the Alamo,
but
they didn't expect Santana to get that big an army.
Yeah.
Through, it was a dead of winter, 7,000 troops, you know, and they brought their women with them, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of like D&B and Fu in France. When the French were all holed up in that fort, and they didn't think the commies could bring their artillery and stuff across the mountains, and they did, and then they blasted the hell out of them. You gotta have scouts out there, boy. You gotta have spies everywhere, and you know the leaders that win are the ones that do things that they're not expected to do.
Like Hannibal in Rome. You know, Hannibal, he went from Africa up into Spain to France, and then back down to the Alps and attack to Rome from the north. You know, who in the hell would expect somebody from Africa to attack from the north? And with the elephants. Yeah, elephants, too.
Show him respect.
Oh, yeah.
The niggers say he was a nigger.
All the statues that were made when he was living all show him as a white guy.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Of course he was, yeah. Okay. You know, when we're talking about surprise, look at 9/11. 19 guys.
Mm-hmm.
19 guys pulled off that whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, as a tactic and strategy, that was a tremendous thing.
Oh, yeah.
And see, military men, give them credit, you know, maybe when they're behind closed doors with these committees and stuff. I mean, when 19 men could pull off something that
big. Oh, yeah. You know. Well, even in World War II, you know, the Japanese and the German army, they couldn't hit any mainland cities. You know, I think the Japanese off the West Coast, I think they had like balloons that were supposed to come over and drop bombs that they never really worked. I think they dropped a couple of them in the forest in Oregon or something.
Yeah, they did kill, there was a couple of people got killed.
Yeah,
those things.
They didn't really have a successful attack. So this is actually the first really successful air attack on American soil, you know, not counting Japan, but mainland America.
But you know, Germany really didn't have designs on the United States.
No.
And the section of their intelligence committee that was apparatus, Reichswehr, or whatever you call it,
mm-hmm.
that had to do with the United States, was run by a traitor, Canaris.
Mm-hmm.
Canaris was a traitor, and they finally hung him.
Mm-hmm.
But so obviously they didn't do much in this country. They could have done a lot of harm if they wanted to, but they really didn't concentrate on the United States. Everybody, Hitler wants the world and all that. That's nonsense.
I was in a bookstore the other day, you know, Dr. Seuss, you know, that did The Cat in the Hat and Green Eggs and Ham.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had a book of his. I got 200 of his cartoons in the 30s in World War II. I mean, boy, he ripped into Lindbergh and the American First Committee. And, you know, he used all his little goofy cartoon characters that were in his later books.
Yeah.
And just a lot of stuff, you know, about the Japs and stuff. He'd have a thing, say, sleeping on the floor, boys, is no way to kill Japs.
Yeah.
And, you know, just all this really bizarre, you know, bizarre-looking stuff, you know. I never really knew that he was that political. But even before World War II, a lot of the stuff in the 30s, he was just going after Hitler.
Well, he's a big hero
and,
now.
And basically, you know, like all the American First people and the American Boot people and stuff like that, and he was attacking them and everything.
Well, he was big with all this kid stuff, but we wouldn't let our kids have Dr. Seuss stuff. And they come out with those TV shows, Christmas and Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, that's pretty weird shit.
They were weird. He was a Jew.
Was he?
He lived right
there. He died in La Jolla.
He lived 50 miles away now.
Well, he died in La Jolla. His wife had a funeral, and they had like a big brass band out there, and they had these guys marching in front of the brass band. I guess she was happy he died or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were talking about the Roman thing.
Oh, yeah. You know, in African studies, you know, there's a Roman general called Africanus. Scorpio Africanus. And they always say that he was an African, but that's not true because the Roman army, like Germanicus, you know, Caligula's dad, he was a hero in the German wars, so they called him Germanicus because of the German campaigns. Africanus, the same thing. He fought in Africa, and he won a lot of battles, so they called him Africanus.
There's
but,
still white people in Africa.
But he was an Italian, they call Africanus, and the niggers are so dumb, they say, if his name is Africanus, therefore he must be a nigger. Mm-hmm. You know, that wasn't his real name, that was a nickname they gave him, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Scorpio, you know, that means scorpion. Scorpion, they call him the African scorpion.
Yeah.
And he wasn't born called the African scorpion, Scorpio Africanus.
Oh, man. But, what else we got?
Oh.
Did you see any movies?
Did I see any movies? Oh, I talked about the Shining, the Spotless Mind, right?
No, I don't think so.
Isn't that movie? It's The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. It's a romantic comedy with Jim Carrey.
That's a weird damn name.
Yeah, it's based on a poem by Alexander Pope. It's basically he says that wouldn't be wonderful if we could forget all our past mistakes and live in the eternal sunshine of our spotless minds. And that's what it's about. It's kind of a science fiction thing where these two people fall in love, and they, you know, they have bad moments and start hating each other, and they go in this futuristic place where they get your memory erased. But then Jim Carrey's in the middle of his, you know, he's aware that his memories are being erased when he's sleeping, and then he decides that he, you know, it wasn't so bad that he actually wanted to keep some of the memories of his girlfriend, and that it's kind of funny because it's kind of like an epiphany thing where he realized that even though, you know, they couldn't live together, but it wasn't all bad, you know, because there was actually good in there with the bad.
Dr. Kallenberg, did you cry?
I did. I always cried.
I watched that Lost in Translation again.
Oh, that's a great movie.
I really like that movie.
A lot. You would like this, too, because it's kind of in the same, it's not the same plot, but it's kind of in the same vein. Well, you got to kind of think about it, you know, like Lost in Translation, you got to, you know, the average dummy wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
I saw another movie on cable. It was called The Salt and Sea with Val Kilmer.
Oh, yeah, that's a good movie.
Oh, that's a good movie. It's about this drug addict, and he's so screwed up. He doesn't know because you don't know what's reality and fantasy. He could be a narc. He could be just some fink who's all screwed up, or he could just be a drug addict and all could be in his head. And so it's just this bizarre story, and you've got to decide which is true. Is the guy really some superhero that's revenging his girlfriend's death? Is he just some dirty rat junkie fink, or is he just some dumb junkie? He may not even be a fake, you know.
That reminds me a little bit of that movie, White Sands.
Remember that was a good movie.
That was a good movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of strange men in cell block 10, but the strangest of them all was a friend of mine who spent his time staring at the wall, staring at the wall. As he looked at the wall, so strong and tall, you could hear him softly curse. Nobody at all ever climbed that wall, but I'm gonna be the first. I'm gonna be the first. Well, the warden walked by and said, son, don't try. I'd hate to see you fall, for there is no doubt they'll carry you out if you ever touch that wall. If you ever touch that wall. Well, a year went by since then. Ain't that the truth? Well, a year's gone. Them mean bastards, ain't they? Well, a year's gone by since he made his try. But I can still recall how hard he tried and the way he died. But he never made that wall. Never made that wall. Well, there's never been a man ever shook this can, but I know a man who tried. The newspapers called it a jailbreak plan, but I know it was suicide. I know it was suicide.
Now there's an old favorite by Johnny Cash. Yeah, The Wall. That's from, it's either from the album Folsom Prison or the album San Quentin. Folsom Prison album is quite popular, but the San Quentin album didn't get pushed too much. They're both very good albums by Johnny Cash. We've got some hot news coming in here, Wyatt. I'll tell you. Oh, well, the Fifth Protocol, whoever that is, on the news here said that Bush screwed up on his speech the other night. I didn't hear it. It says, quote, "You saw it live. He bumbled, stumbled, and talked like a librarian at story time. Not an image of leadership."
Huh.
That's pretty wild.
That pretty well sums it up.
I guess they don't like Mr. Bush.
I think he needed some coke. If he had just like a nose full, that he would have done a lot better.
I think so.
He would have been more lively and bouncing around.
At least a joint, you know.
Yeah, more
and then
happy.
I see this this head of the, this George Tenet, the head of the CIA.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is the funniest damn thing you'll see all day. He says, "The U.S. is 5 years away from building the spy service it needs to beat terror."
Yeah, it was
that?
They need more money, more power.
There is more money, 5 years, and then we may be able to stop 19 ragheads.
Well, no, they're not talking about stopping ragheads. They're talking about domestic spying. Now, if you read between the lines, you know, they always say that terrorism is both domestic and international. It begins at home, and what we have to have is a counter-terrorist agency in America to spy on American citizens, because American citizens are terrorists.
Yeah, in other words, they want more time to get a police.
Well, they want. They proposed, like I guess in Britain, that they've got an agency that they have like a camera on every corner and city, and they film everybody.
They do. I've seen.
Yeah, they want to have that in American cities, where every city corner has a camera that, you know, sweeps around and films everybody. And the agency, it doesn't have any power to arrest; it just spies. So it just films people and collects information, and then it takes the information and gives the police. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Every city block in Fallbrook, we've got, you know, it's like in 1984, you know. You know, actually in 1984, you were always on camera. Yeah, you were always on camera. And all these cameras are going to be filming us, everything, you know.
It's like this. We've imported the Stasi from East Germany.
Yeah.
You know, they were better. They were even more cruel than the Russians.
Yeah, so what it's going to be is, like if some Mexican's standing on the street corner taking a piss and you say something about it, you know, they'll film it and they'll come and get you for a hate crime for interfering with cultural enrichment or something.
Now, wait a minute.
I think it's going to be that bad, and it's going to be real soon.
Now, Sharon's in Washington, the big boy, and he is wanting more money.
More money, more power.
Because the U.S. now backs Israeli retention of part of the West Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Like he needs our okay to do anything.
Well, I told you it's Sharon. A scam, because they're giving up 6 blocks, and since the Jews in good faith are going to give up Israeli territory, a whole 6 blocks...
Yeah.
That we've got to give them billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars for giving up those 6 blocks.
Of course, you know all that money has to be borrowed.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have that money. It's got to be borrowed.
Well, when I pay my taxes tonight, they will.
Hey, do you know why a Jew husband lives 5 years less than his wife?
Because he's lucky?
Because he wants to. And there's another one here. You know, the NAACP has a motto,
mm-hmm.
"A mind is a terrible thing."
I thought their motto was, "A mind is a terrible thing to waste." That's why niggers don't have one.
Yeah, I've heard it that way, too. Now, Bush pledges U.S. will finish the job in Iraq if it takes every young guy in the country, over everybody in the country. He's going to win in Iraq.
Yeah, he's going to secure that oil. He's going to make the world safe for Halliburton profits.
Well, you know, I think Iraq's a good place to move to because they got freedom of, you can have any kind of weapon you want.
Mm-hmm.
The right to keep and bear arms. You can have machine gun, rocket launchers, anything,
yeah.
You know. And they're giving them billions to build new hospitals.
Yeah.
And they're giving everybody 100% health care in Iraq. And
I think Iraq may be the place to go. Well,
another good reason is Iraq is a country that's getting more rights, and America is a country that's losing all our rights by the day.
Yeah, so.
They've got something to look for, and we don't have anything to look for.
You know, one guy said, too, they're always saying how we're exporting democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, how can you install democracy?
Yeah.
But that's impossible.
By an army and a police state?
Yeah. But it can't be democracy, right?
Well, in reality, it is.
They call it democracy. Yeah.
You can never have true democracy because democracy is the people leading themselves. And people who can't even get their own act together can never govern themselves. So, like Plato said in the Republic, that democracy is the worst form of government because it always leads to anarchy, and anarchy always leads to tyranny. So, democracy is just the first steps to tyranny.
That exact quote was in the U.S. Army manual up until the early
1930s. Yeah.
When Roosevelt got in, they changed everything.
Because Plato, most people who are aware that democracy is a bunch of crap have read Plato, because Plato basically wraps it all up.
It says here that the poll finds Bush is vulnerable, but Kerry isn't gaining from it.
You know why that is? Because they're both a bunch of worthless assholes that nobody really likes, but... Kerry is less evil than Bush.
I don't know. I think he's smarter than Bush, but yeah. I probably not any less evil in some ways, you know.
I think that he won't install Patriot 2. That's the big.
Well, yeah, I think the Democrats wouldn't have us in Iraq.
Yeah.
If they'd have been, if Al Gore would have became president, we wouldn't be in Iraq.
No, I think the police state would be less.
And I don't think that 9/11 would have happened.
No, I don't either. Yeah. Because, well, with Al Gore, he didn't really want to increase the police powers or get more money to the FBI and CIA, so he would have stopped them, you know, because they knew ahead of time. So I think Al Gore would have stopped the attack. And like Bush.
Well, it's a big joke about the Republicans wanting smaller government.
Oh, no, not even bigger government. But, you know, when they talk about that, what they're really saying is they want less government to interfere with capitalist corporations.
Yeah, that's
true. They want more government in spying. They want more government in sex. They want more government to regulate the airwaves.
Yep.
You know, they want more government on everything except on capitalist corporations.
Yeah, man. Well, Dr. Kahlenberg, I'm looking at this TV screen here in the news, the New York Times, and they're showing a picture of this monster Jew thing. It's a thing that they're planning in the middle of Berlin, the Jewish Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Liebskin described his design for the Jewish Museum in Berlin as a deconstructed Star of David with windows like slashes on the facade. Wow.
Cool.
Man. And, you know, to think that the Germans would let them build such a goddamn thing in the middle of Berlin. That's going to be a constant target, though, you know.
Yeah, well, if it's a deconstructed Star of David, isn't that a desecrated Star of David?
You may have a point there, Dr. Kahlenberg. It's wild. This thing is the ugliest thing I've seen.
Oh, it looks bizarre.
They probably painted gold and everything so they can see it from... Let's see, the Jewish Museum in Berlin was his first built commission, opening in 2001 as an elaborate survey... Nearly 2,000 years of Jewish life in Germany.
2,000 years?
Yeah, come on. It is the epitome of quiche, catering to mass sentiment, and has been a huge popular and critical success. The zigzag zinc-clad building. Oh, man, I can't go any farther.
Yeah. That's 2,000 years of Jewish history in Germany?
Yeah, right.
I mean, is there any truth at all in that building?
Leave it up to the Jews. Then they show a bunch of other pictures inside the place. It's wild. Comes from the Jewish mind, that's for sure. What else we got here to talk about?
Oh, Kill Bill 2, Part 2 is going to come out Friday.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, that was the first one was a pretty good movie. Supposedly this one's supposed to be better. It's supposed to be more like Pulp Fiction.
She's more violent in this one?
Yeah, baby.
Oh, that'd
be... This is where she kills Bill.
I'd like to have a girlfriend like that. She could protect my body.
That's true.
Yeah. She's got a pretty good body of her own.
Oh, yeah. And actually, she's actually kind of a fairly good girl because she's got two white kids and she broke up with her husband. And unlike a lot of people, she never downplayed him or anything. You know, she only says good things about him, even though deep down she probably hates his guts, but publicly she only said good things about
him. Yeah,
yeah. She got to respect her for that.
Yeah.
Well, there are also some pretty good movies are coming out. You got, well, at least they sound, Troy with Brad Pitt's coming out.
That looks good.
Yeah. There's going to be a movie about Thermopylae coming out. You know, the Greeks, how they fought off the Persians. And there's going to be two movies about Alexander the Great. One of them, Oliver Stone's going to have him being a fruitcake. I don't know about the other one, but, you know, it's kind of interesting that how Hollywood works. You know, they, like I said, they won't touch a Gladiator or Saga movies, and once one makes a lot of money, then they got a whole stream of. Now that this Jesus movie made a lot of money, we're going to have Jesus up our asses for years.
Well, they're dragging out every bit of film they can that they've made in the past. They make
Cable,
a lot of money.
Oh, Cable, God, it was just one to puke over.
Well, they're interviewing guys now, and it's obvious that the search for something outside ourselves is here. Everybody's looking for God and all this is going on and on.
Well, I'm right here.
You should get a preacher's certificate. You'd make a lot of money, man.
Well, I'd have to stand up before people and say, you want to look at God? Just have a look. Have a gander.
I'm going to tell them, look at my sign on the wall. I got a certificate there from the Universal Life Church for a rabbi. Rabbi Thomas Metzger.
Covington was right. You are a rabbi. You are a fucking rabbi.
It's right there.
No shit. It's
right up there. My certificate.
Rabbi. How much did that cost you?
Somebody got it for me.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So technically, is the Universal Life Church still around?
I don't know. I haven't seen them in years. They're always advertising in the back of magazines and stuff.
I guess if I didn't pay my dues, I don't belong anymore. But can I go around and I can marry Jews and
circumcise little Jew kids?
Baptize? No, you don't baptize the Jews.
No, they circumcise.
Yeah, but I baptize them and put them down in the river and they wouldn't come up, man. And then the bumper sticker up there, save you, God can't even cure acne.
That's true.
What do you think? The Christians don't like that.
Oh, did Jesus have zits?
Every human has had zits.
Oh, okay.
Because he was a son of man, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So one day Jesus is just out there just popping his zits.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Well, we got the old website back up there. They didn't keep us down very long.
No. You know, there's so many servers on there. They're getting cheaper by the minute, too.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a lot of them dropped by the wayside.
Yeah.
There's hundreds of them out there, so.
Well, there's one website I was cruising in. There's one that offers websites for $2.99 a month.
We were only off a few days and then got right back on.
Yeah.
And everybody seems to like our site.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how much the hits dropped off. But they probably shouldn't drop off at all.
No, because you got the same domain name and stuff, so people just find you just as it is.
Yeah, right. So
my site's getting a lot of hits. I average about 183 people a day, so that's surprising. It's only 2 months old.
Hell, I hate to make you feel bad.
I know, but you've been around for a long time. I've only been around 2 months.
Thousands, tens of thousands a day.
People?
Hits.
Well, no, I said actual people. I get thousands and thousands of hits, too, but I mean people. Actual people. Actual visits.
Did you write their name down?
No. But that's pretty good for a small website that's only been around 2 months.
I had a guy try to hit me with a Trojan horse again last night.
Oh, yeah.
But we blocked that sucker.
Yeah. Well, you know what's amazing is when I put out my magazine, Pagan Revival, it cost me $1,200 an issue, and I basically couldn't give the fucking thing away, and I dumped all this money. Now that I get a website that cost me about $100 a year, and I got it reaches far more people than my magazine ever could for a fraction of the price.
Yeah.
I mean, in all the world, you know, you get people from Russia and stuff reading it, and I mean, the website's really the way to go if you've got a smaller publication.
Yeah, that's true. However, I find people support a newspaper better than they do from the internet.
Yeah.
Mostly, people on the internet like to get everything free.
Oh yeah.
They don't realize it takes money to do things, you know.
Yeah, but I'm not really trying to build a movement. I just want to get some ideas out there.
So Come on,
it's a good way.
We know you're running for God.
Well, I'm already God, so I don't have to run.
Oh well, there's other gods, you know. You might have to compete.
Put no God before me. The Bible even says that. It says, put no God before Wyatt, me.
Oh, man. You've been drinking that. You've been
well, what you drink? What the fuck are you drinking?
You've been on that skunk weed again?
What the fuck are you drinking over? What's that, capsicum?
I'm drinking capsicum, yeah.
You ought to see Misker's face. You know what capsicum is? What is it, cayenne pepper?
It's cayenne pepper.
You ought to see his face when he drinks this shit.
When
he drinks purple and some weird perverted idea, he thinks this is good for him.
Boy, that's good. It's good for your heart.
Why is drinking that crap any better than taking it in capsules?
Because it keeps the blood rushing. It's great.
Well, capsules would do the same. Well, I like that. I'd rather have a
capsules?
Hot sauce. Yeah.
Well, that's a pussy way of taking it.
Why don't you snort it?
This puts hair on your chest.
I'll give you $5 if you snort just a gram of capsicum.
I'm the only guy around here that I shave my head once in a while, but I grow hair on my chest. Faster than I can grow hair any place.
That's true.
So, hell, I could have a permanent on my chest.
You know, if you snort the stuff, it goes in your bloodstream instantly. If you're drinking it, it would be good for you. Just imagine it going up your nose, man. And just instantaneously. When you
if you try to put that up your nose, you'd die, man.
No, that's why I want you to do it.
It's like that stuff they spray, the cops purple. Spray you with.
Pepper spray.
Haven't you ever watched cops?
Oh, remember Carl?
Spraying with pepper spray?
Remember Carl used to always spray himself with his pepper spray to make himself tough?
Yeah.
I remember once I don't know if you were with me, we were driving up to L.A. and he had so many. We were in the car and I guess when the windows were up, he started spraying himself. I said, what the fuck are you doing, Carl? He would just fill up the whole car and the shit. And
well, you know, in the Army, they marched us into a damn enclosed building. Made us take off our gas mask, and then it was filled with gas.
Well, that's Carl's
and
point. Was that, you know,
dying
like if
you
got in fight with the Jews or something, if they sprayed him with pepper spray, he wouldn't know how to handle it, you know, so he'd always spray himself just in case the Jews got him.
There's only one way to handle it, and that's
don't get sprayed.
Cough and fume.
Yeah.
And if you got a baseball bat, just keep swinging it, man. That's it. Well, poor old brother Matt Hale's having a hard time. They're right in the middle of that trial. Not in the middle, they just started. Yeah.
With the force or something.
And this guy, Fox, had supposedly heard him say all this stuff about this judge.
Mm-hmm.
They said the reason he's doing that is because he wanted to try to take over the church.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, there's not that much of the church. You know, there's a lot of, they're spread around, you know. And so he wanted to take it over in southern Wisconsin or something. Strange.
Yeah.
They're really going after old Matt, and I'm afraid they're going to hang old Matt.
Yeah.
You know? And, of course, the lawyers, and I hate these lawyers because they stand up there, and before they even start the defense, they say, well, this guy's ideas are repugnant, they're horrible, they're terrible, you know, they're sickening, I can't even think, you know.
He's a vile piece of shit, and you should get the electric chair,
right.
But I'm going to defend him anyway.
And I'm going to defend him anyhow. That's how.
Because I'm such a good guy. Then I'm going to defend this vile piece of shit.
Well, he should jump right up right there and fire his attorney.
Yeah.
You know?
Basically, that's what they're doing is they're running down there. You know, it's funny is they'll never do it to a murderer. They never do it to a serial killer. They never come up and say, well, this guy is vile. He's repugnant. He killed all these kids, but I'm going to defend him anyway. But they always do it to white nationalists because, you know,
well,
I guess we're more worse than the serial killers.
Well, they do it to the murderers in summation.
Mm-hmm.
But they do it to us right before, the opening... The opening statement.
Yeah.
So, and then the lawyer said, well, don't have anybody come down here and support him. Don't have anybody come down and demonstrate in the streets and march around. Oh, no, you'll hurt him. How much worse could he be hurt?
I know his lawyers already fucked him.
Yeah. Yeah, they just want the guys to feel he's got no support at all.
Yeah.
It's too bad I'm not closer. I'd be there. But I hope some of those people out there are showing up.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in Chicago. Somebody ought to show up.
Yeah, probably. But we hope old Matt beats it.
Yeah.
Oh, in fact, I'm putting some of Matt's speeches together that
nobody's
got them.
Yeah, some of them are pretty good. I was surprised.
Yeah, I met him in Osceola, Indiana a couple of years ago. And he gave two speeches there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got those. And so I'm putting those on tape.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to get a hold of those, they'll run about $20 for. And also a bunch of clips, a bunch of video clips on the news about him. And also I'm putting together one on Alex Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the truth about Alex Curtis or whatever you want to say. And it's about an hour or so of all his trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
So people can get that for $20 to War, P.O. Box 65,
Fallbrook, California, 92088.
Well, Dr. Colin Berg, it's been a slow news day, but I think we ought to get on out of here, and you get that old 56 Chevy back on down the hill.
Yeah, get these a bag full of these kumquats and loquats and go home.
We got all kinds of that stuff around here. So
great to be in California with all this exotic fruit.
That's true. There's a lot of fruits in this.
Well, I didn't mean that kind
there's
of fruit.
Plenty of fruits around here. Okay, but none in this bunker.
That's true.
Right? Okay. Say goodbye.
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 Oh, come all you young fellers, so young and so fine, seek not your fortune in the dark, dreary mine. It'll form as a habit and seep in your soul till the stream of your blood runs as black as the coal. Where it's dark as a dungeon, damp as the dew, danger is double, pleasures are few. Where the rain never falls, the sun never shines, it's dark as a dungeon way down in the mine. Well, it's many a man that I've seen in my day. No laughing during the song, please. It's been recorded, I know, hell.
Don't you know it's recorded?
Like a pin with his dope and a drunkard with his wine, a man will have lust for the lure of the mine. And I pray when I'm dead and my ages shall roll, that my body would blacken and turn into coal. Door of my heavenly home and pity the miner digging my bones. Where it's dark as the dungeon, damp as the dew, danger is double, pleasures are few. Where the rain never falls, the sun never shines, it's dark as a dungeon way down.